Probably the reason some of you are in the audience is North Slope Gas Development. There is lots of activity around North Slope Gas Development, and the AOGCC has a role, and our role is very small, but it is important. And, you know, what's important? You know, what is important about North Slope Gas? There's a lot of debate going on around the where, when, who, how much, etc. And all kinds of good folks are saying totally different things. So who's right? The way I look at it, you know, it's not a matter of right or wrong, but it's a matter of your perspective. And, you know, if you're the mayor of Valdez, then you think the all Valdez Alaska line is the right answer, and, you know, good on you. But if you don't live in one of those two towns, you might not agree. So it's really a matter of your perspective. So what is our perspective at the AOGCC? You know, remembering back several boring slides ago to what our responsibilities are, greater ultimate hydrocarbon recovery and the prevention of waste of that resource. You know, those are the top two on the list. And those generate, you know, those generate long-term benefits to Alaskans. So that's really where we see what's important. And when I talk to the legislators, I'm not going to tell them your joke. But when I talk to the legislators, I remind them that we don't worry about economics, politics, getting votes, because any one particular set of constituents. We just worry about science, engineering, and what the law says we have to do. So relative to those guys, we have a very easy job because the science doesn't change. There are three primary sources of North Slope gas that we're hoping for and counting on. And those are Prudhoe Bay, Point Thompson, and all those yet to be discovered North Slope fields. So I'll describe each one of those, list what the challenges are for us, and give the AOGCC perspective on each of those resources. Starting with Prudhoe Bay. Prudhoe is the biggest proven source of gas on the slope, but it's an oil field, and it's an oil field first. Some people ask, you know, Prudhoe's oil is almost gone, and you've produced more than you thought you were going to produce, so why are you so worried about all that? You know, what are you complaining about? Why can't we just turn the gas on, blow and go? Well, you know, there's 2 billion barrels left. Now, Thunder Horse, there's some BP folks in the room. Thunder Horse, I understand, at discovery was about 1 billion barrels before a drop was produced. Is that close? Okay, so, you know, at 1 billion barrels, brand new, that's half of what's left in poor old used up Prudhoe Bay field. So it's huge. So we cannot ignore the enormous oil resource that we've found and that we've been producing and continue to produce. There's currently a 2.7 billion a day offtake allowable, but I'm here to tell you that if we woke up this morning and the headline of the Daily News said gas pipeline magically appeared overnight, my agency would be calling a special hearing to take that allowable away until BP and its partners could prove to us that waste would not occur by selling that gas. So the legislator hates it when I say that too. What are the challenges at Prudhoe Bay? How do you determine greater ultimate hydrocarbon recovery? Not just oil, not just gas, but both. You know, classically in an oil field, you want to produce all the oil before you produce any of the gas. But, you know, at Prudhoe Bay, we've got an aging infrastructure, and it is possible that, you know, if we delayed gas production too long, that we would end up stranding gas because everything fell apart before it was all out of there. You know, I would hope that wouldn't be the case, but and as one of the BP corrosion guys said a couple of years ago, how long they last depends on how well you take care of them. So I would hope that things would be in good shape to get all of our resources out, but there's no guarantee. Another technical concern we have at Prudhoe is that that gas is being used not only to get oil out of Prudhoe Bay, but some of it is being exported to other fields. And there's an enormous heavy oil resource up on the North Slope that could benefit from the viscosity reduction that would come from injecting natural gas into, you know, UGNU and the Westfac. Over 20 billion barrels that aren't currently recoverable. That's an old number, don't believe me. But at Prudhoe, the technical challenges aren't really the big ones, because we've been producing Prudhoe for so long, we have so much data, and we're fortunate to have really good, smart owners at Prudhoe Bay who want to do the right thing, and their best interest pretty much aligns with the state's. They want to get as much out of this, and when they do, we do. So the technical challenges aren't the big ones. The big ones are the political challenges. There's a huge lack of understanding. You know, with people who say they're holding our gas hostage, hello. You know, they're using that gas to get oil out. The people who say we want the gas now, it's not going anywhere. And unless you're only worried about filling your pocket today, you know, relax. That gas will be there, and we will get it when the time is right. And then another frustration is, you know, I've been saying this kind of stuff for 4 years, and you know, because we do try to stay quiet and sleepy over there by Bernie's, but we're sleepy before we go to Bernie's, not after. But there are people who just don't even hear what we say, and there is no guarantee that we will be, you know, it's possible that Prudhoe Bay could fill whatever line we build, but there's no guarantee of that. Raise your hand if you're tired of hearing me say it's a multivariable equation. It depends on when we start to fill the gas, how much the pipeline can hold, how much oil is left at Prudhoe Bay, and what mitigation steps have been taken to protect that oil from losses. So, yeah, maybe we can fill the line with Prudhoe, but I don't have that crystal ball. So the ALGCC perspective on Prudhoe Bay, we're looking out for greater ultimate hydrocarbon recovery and prevention of waste. And again, we look only at the resource, not the economics, but we think the operator has a plan that's consistent with our mandate. Now, Point Thompson, that's entirely different in every way, except that there are big challenges and that there's a lot of potential oil at risk. Point Thompson's gas is saturated with condensate, and it's underlain by a heavy oil rim. We feel pretty certain about the 9 TCF of gas that's there, but there's all kinds of debate on how much oil and condensate are associated with that gas, and how much of that is recoverable. Basically, it boils down to the two questions up there. Should we produce it as an oil field or a gas field? And if we produce it as a gas field, what do we do to get as much of that oil out as possible? We're in the middle of a study with Exxon on Point Thompson, and it's plodding along. There have been several challenges to that study getting completed. But the good news is we're hoping to complete it by early next year, and the bad news is even when we're done with it, probably the only way to answer those questions will be through production, through drilling some wells and doing some pilots. So a lot of people didn't want to hear that either. So what are the challenges at Point Thompson? The technical challenges are huge. We have a lot less data, and it's a very complicated reservoir. And as I said, no matter how good the study is and how smart the people are doing the study, we're probably going to need production to answer those questions. And the political challenges at Point Thompson are huge, too. You know, our legislators have to deal with such a broad spectrum of information every day. It's unreasonable to expect that they're going to retain everything that I tell them, especially when I throw in retrograde condensation and viscosity reduction and blah, 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 blah. You know, the guys that are down there, you know, guys and gals that want to understand, you know, their eyes glaze over, and they hate to see me coming to talk to them. So, you know, heaven help them. But Because they're supposed to be experts on everything they have to vote on. I don't think so. So it's frustrating that when you go down and talk to them, they don't remember your name and they don't remember what you told them last time, but cut them some slack. They got a lot to do. And especially when you're trying to explain to them physics, and physics that acts backwards like retrograde, you know? Okay, beat that one to death. And the legal entanglements continue to delay forward progress, and everyone in the room is frustrated with that, no matter what side of the issue you are on. And as I said, you know, we're not going to know the answers to our questions until we get some production, so delay is not our friend in Point Thompson. And, you know, the ALGCC is charged with saying how Point Thompson can be produced as a gas field or an oil field, and if a gas field, what the allowable is going to be. And, you know, we may not be able to make those decisions until there's production, because we won't be able to make those decisions until those questions are answered. I probably said that plenty, too. So what is the AOGCC perspective at Point Thompson? Again, our job is simple. Ensure greater ultimate hydrocarbon recovery and prevent the waste. And we look generally only at the resource and not the economics or the politics. However, economics may be an important part of the decision at Point Thompson, and recognizing that, we've gone out for an outside legal opinion. There's an oil and gas law expert down in Texas who is looking at the question, to what degree can the AOGCC consider economics in its decision? Because I think that'll be very important. Because, you know, if an operator goes out to develop Point Thompson, and yeah, they can drill a horizontal well, and it can get 100 barrels a day from that heavy oil rim, and it costs $100 million to drill that well. Any volunteers to run that operation? Yeah. Okay, so economics is going to be critical to this decision, or it could be. So we need to know to what extent that we can consider economics, and we need to know that in time, so that if changes to our statutes need to be made to give us more authority, the legislature's got the time to do that. Because, you know, maybe I'm biased, but I think we're the right place to make that decision. So I'd like it to remain with us and not be taken away, because we don't have the ability to make the decision on the right justifications. Okay. So you've all heard me say, and this will not be a surprise to anyone, that the 23rd POD submitted by Exxon and its partners is a plan that will address our questions. So we see it consistent with our mandate, but again, it needs to happen soon. You know, and that's not an opinion negative to Exxon or negative to the DNR any more than the other way around. So, you know, decisions need to be made, and activity needs to happen at Point Thompson soon rather than later, so that these questions can be answered in time for a gas pipeline. And we understand that DNR's concerns are different from ours. DNR is, as I told you at the start, they are the state's proprietor of the state's hydrocarbon resources. And they look at a lot more than just the science and the engineering like we do. They have greater concerns. We understand their concerns. They're valid concerns. Our job is to stay neutral now, and every night I pray that we won't be forced to get into the fight between Exxon and DNR. Anybody in the room hear that? Please.